Support for WPR comes from Focus on Energy, committed to helping Wisconsinites focus on the planet by making smart energy choices. Energy resources for Earth Day and every day can be found at focusonenergy.com.
Welcome to the Midday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and with me today, Ilya Yakushev, who is giving a performance with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra tomorrow night, and he will be playing two things on that concert. Is that right, Ilya?
That's correct.
Two very different things. A Prokofiev Piano Concerto number 1.
Yes, and the Rhapsody in Blue, the famous Rhapsody in Blue.
It's a good contrasting choice. What about the Prokofiev makes it a particularly meaty piece for you?
Well, it's not necessarily, I wouldn't call it a meaty piece. I would say that he was very young when he wrote it, and I would say it's just a piece full of fun and flashy technical passages. Yet it's got a very beautiful middle movement that is just out of this world, and I consider it to be one of the most beautiful second movements ever written in the 20th century, along with Ravel's second movement from his Piano Concerto in G, and Shostakovich's second movement from his Piano Concerto number 2. I say this is one of the three most beautiful second movements I've ever encountered in my life that were written in the 20th century, of course. But the piece is very flashy, it's very light, and it's very easy to listen to. And I think it's a great end for the first half. That's how we're going to end the first half tomorrow. We're going to finish it with the Prokofiev Concerto, and we're going to finish the concert, the second half of the concert, with the Gershwin.
I guess you could say flashy for that too, but there's more to it than that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Of course, when I say flashy, I mean that there are going to be some tricky technical passages that pianist has an opportunity to show off with, you know. And this is the flashy part of it. But of course, it's a beautiful piece of music, one of the most popular piano concertos of the 20th century. And of course, Rhapsody in Blue is a different kind of animal, but also a very attractive and beautiful piece of music.
And everything on that concert tomorrow night is written by composers who were pretty much at the beginning of their careers. I mean, Elgar was just really becoming known when he wrote his Serenade for Strings in E minor, and Aaron Copland when he wrote his music for the theater similarly, and Prokofiev was all of like 20 or 21 when he wrote his
around
piano
that
concerto.
Age, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, he was writing this concerto to graduate from the conservatory. That was the purpose behind this piece. He had to perform that at his graduation.
I still find that kind of amazing. Is that the sort of thing that's done often today, where in order to graduate you have to write and perform your own piano concerto?
Well, Prokofiev was graduating from two degrees. He was taking one degree in composition, the other degree in piano performance. So I think he combined two exams into one by writing a piano concerto and performing that at his exam, his final exam. Rachmaninoff did the same exact thing. His first piano concerto was his graduation piece that he played at his graduation.
I seem to hear that more about Russian composers and pianists than anywhere else. That, as you say, Rachmaninoff and Prokofiev, and I think even some of the earlier Russian composers seem to do that more than you hear about from other countries.
Certainly. Well, I think that was a requirement in Russian music school, you know, that you had to write something for your graduation. And since these guys were already doing piano performance degrees, why not write a piece for yourself and play it? You know, nobody knows it. So
who's going to catch you on the mistakes?
Exactly, exactly.
With the score, which I understand some people were with the Prokofiev, I think, and it was just about to be published. That was part of the deal, too. And there were a number of people who had the score in their lap as they watched him perform.
That's right. Well, but, you know, he can always say that it was a purpose of interpretation there.
Or a last-minute revision, perhaps.
Right, exactly right, exactly right.
And the Gershwin, actually, well, as I said, these were all works by composers at the beginning of their careers. Gershwin was all of about 25, 26 when
he wrote
Rhapsody in Blue, and that for a far different reason. He had had an idle conversation with Paul Whiteman. Oh, let's write something that would be kind of jazzy and classical. And then Gershwin is shooting pool one day, and he picks up a newspaper, that says he is writing this piece for Paul Whiteman for a concert that was to take place just a few weeks later.
Right. So, well, I think it was just a couple of weeks later, right? Yeah. Right. And he absolutely forgot that he had to finish this piece, and so he had to complete it in a very short period of time. But no, I think he did a fine job doing that. So
the original orchestration was by Ferdy Groffet, who was most famous today, I suppose, in America anyway, as the composer of the Grand Canyon Suite, but he also was a good, quick orchestrator of classical slash jazzy, almost slash pop kind of pieces. And the early recordings of this from 1924-25 are downright frenetic. You know, partly, I think, because they had to get it all on one side of a record.
That was a common issue with a lot of composers, like Rachmaninoff. Also, at some point, he had to record one of his concerti, and I remember that he had to play one of the movements extremely fast in order to fit in one side of the LP, to fit the whole concerto on one side. And that was a common problem for the composers and the pianists.
It really had probably a greater effect on music than we would think, or you think these things are all because of some kind of artistic choice.
But, that's right. There are some technical issues as well, right?
As I suppose even today there would be in some ways. Let's kind of jag about 90 degrees and get into some Bach. What made you decide to record Bach after the, you know, presumably steady diet of Rachmaninoff and Prokofiev?
Well, honestly, I started playing Prokofiev and Rachmaninoff pretty late in my life. I had a teacher in St. Petersburg, in my city, in St. Petersburg, Russia, who was very much in love with Beethoven's music and with Bach's music, and he gave me this head start. And then when I came to the U.S., I studied with Vladimir Feltsman, with well-known Bach specialist Vladimir Feltsman, who recorded almost all of Bach's keyboard music. So the first couple of years of my studies with Feltsman, I brought in these three partitas that are in these CDs in your hands right now. And I do things on that CD that not too many people do. I add a lot of embellishments in the repeats of the dances. And this is something that Feltsman taught me, and I hope that I mastered it to a certain degree where people can say, yes, that is interesting.
This is the Capriccio, the last movement of the Partita number 2 in C minor by Bach, with my guest today as the pianist. Sound of Bach, a Capriccio, that's the final movement of the Partita number 2 in C minor, as played by my guest today, Ilya Yakushev, and we'll hear more from him and his piano in just a moment. Back with Ilya Yakushev, who's playing with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra tomorrow night, that's Friday night, in Overture at, I keep forgetting the name, Capitol Theater? Okay, why did I draw a blank there? I was in a very charming place for a concert, a relatively intimate venue. And if you're interested in getting tickets for that, you can call the box office at 258-4141. As we started listening to the Bach there, Ilya, you said how difficult that is to start a concert with. And then at Avery Fisher, you had to play an entire, I guess, mini-concert, pre-concert that was nothing but Bach, nothing to warm up with going into
it. It's a very well-known festival in New York City during the summer, mostly Mozart, that is being held for a couple of weeks. And they do invite younger pianists like myself to do pre-concert recitals, I should say, about an hour before the evening performance starts. And I was lucky to be chosen to be one of those pianists who did one of the two, actually, of the pre-concert recitals. And so it happened that the presenters at the Mostly Mozart heard my Bach CD and they decided that they want specifically Bach. Mm-hmm. And me and you were just talking about how difficult it is to start a concert with Bach. It's also very hard to play only Bach, because it has to be convincing to people that are in the hall. And from what you've heard right now, my Bach is a little bit different from other people's. I'm not sure in a good and a bad way, but it's different. So in order for people to be happy in the hall, at the Avery Fisher Hall, you really have to make it interesting and justify what you do with Bach. So it was a hard project, but I was very honored to be part of the festival this year, and I hope that I will get to play there again soon.
Sounds promising. Meanwhile, back on your Prokofiev, the Prokofiev piano sonatas are, I suppose, even today, not all that well known in a lot of parts of the world. Prokofiev did have the reputation when he came to this country, though, in the early 1920s, as having, you know, these steel biceps and iron fingers, and I'm sure it had something to do with the way he wrote and something to do with the way he played, but that's not always what we find in Prokofiev, you say.
Well, Prokofiev was a great pianist. He was one of the well-known pianists of his time in Russia and here and in Europe as well. And the third sonata, I have, you have my Prokofiev CD in your hands, and it has third, sixth, and seventh sonatas on it. The third sonata is a sonata that he wrote during his happy years abroad. The sixth and seventh sonatas were written back in the in Soviet Union when he returned in early 30s. And the sixth and seventh sonatas were written during the period where Soviet Union was going through
a
very tough
of,
time.
Turmoil,
yes.
A lot of
that's
pressure.
Correct. That's correct. And so the sixth and seventh sonatas are very difficult sometimes for people to understand what they're about. What did he feel at that moment? He was in exile. He didn't have a chance to live in a big city because it was so tough there in those big cities like St. Petersburg, Moscow. So he was away from home. He was away from his home in Soviet Union, while in Soviet Union, and it was nostalgic time. The third sonata that you're planning on playing at the end of the show is more of a showpiece that he was writing for about 10 years, but it's actually a 7-minute long sonata.
Well, sometimes that happens.
Right. He really wanted to perfect it, and it is very much like his third piano concerto, but in miniature form. And if you listen to the third sonata and sixth sonata back to back, you can hear how different they are. But in order to be able to play Prokofiev, you really have to know his life, and you have to know what he was going through at that certain moment. And I think that applies to every composer whose music you play. And so Prokofiev is difficult to play and difficult to understand, but I would say that these sonatas that I recorded are actually more known than his other sonatas, and he wrote 9 altogether. So, but it's part of the standard repertoire. So, and Prokofiev was a great pianist. He was a great composer, and he made it very difficult for some of us to play his music. But for me, for some reason, Prokofiev is an easier composer to play. So, I really appreciate what I play by him. And I also met his grandson not too long ago. That was in New York City. His grandson lives in London.
Is he a musician?
He's a DJ. Okay. And that
okay.
was a
Different
that was an evening
music.
After Valery Gergiev's performance at the Metropolitan Opera in New York, and we all got together for that reception after the performance, and Prokofiev's grandson was mixing some music for the ballet troupe. They were hoping that they would dance to music that Prokofiev's grandson is mixing. And the next day, he actually mixed Prokofiev's toccata, his grandfather's toccata, which was actually pretty cool.
That sounds pretty cool to me. This is the second movement, Allegretto, from the Prokofiev Piano Sonata number 6 in A.
Thank you.
again, it's a side of Prokofiev that I think a lot of people overlook, is that it does get, as you say, kind of philosophical there in the middle, but it's got such a wonderfully light touch. That was the second movement, the Allegretto, from the Piano Sonata number 6 in A by Prokofiev, as played by my guest today, Ilya Yakushev, who is playing with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra tomorrow night, playing Prokofiev and George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, and also maybe in some ways even harder, has recorded Bach. Is the Saraband any easier than the from the first suite, any easier to play than the Capriccio, which really does sound like a handful?
Well, Capriccio, by its nature, is a very virtuosic piece. That it's not really a dance. When the rest of the movements in partitas are usually dances, sometimes Bach has Capriccio or some other piece that doesn't really belong in the cycle, but it sounds very good as an ending for a partita. So Capriccio is really, its nature is to be this very virtuosic instrumental piece, and Saraband is a dance, and it's of course a lot easier technically to play it, but you have to know the style, you have to know how to embellish it the best way and how to make it interesting for the listener.
And this is the Saraband from, it's the fourth of the six movements of Bach's Partita number 1 in B flat. From the Partita number 1 by Bach, as played by Ilya Yakushev, who's not playing Bach tomorrow night, but he's playing Prokofiev and he's playing Gershwin, and that'll be quite a set of performances with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra tomorrow night in the Capitol Theater in the Overture Center. Well, as we take leave of Ilya Yakushev, we're going to go to an entire Prokofiev sonata, but as you said earlier, it's just a 7-minute sonata. It took him how many years to write this?
It took him about 10 years to write this piece, and he obviously was changing a lot of things in it, and finally mastered it to the level where he was satisfied with it, satisfied enough with it so he could publish it by then, you know. But it's a very beautiful short sonata that describes his midlife period, when he was a happy guy, playing, writing, making lots of money, traveling, and I hope people enjoy it, and compare it to the movement from the sixth sonata you just heard, you know, and see how different they are. And they were written about, I'd say, 20 years apart. So very different periods in Prokofiev's life, and this one is certainly the happier one.
Well, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you very much for having me, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow.